Hope everybody's doing good today. If you're doing good, say yes.
Yes.
All right, it's good to see you. Trust me, it's good to see you. And hey, we did have a great day yesterday. First, let me just say thank you to Pastor Mike for this opportunity to be here with you. I wasn't all good for 28 years. I never planned to be there 28 years. But we showed up. In fact, my beautiful wife is with me, Jada. She's right over here. And so some of y'all need to get to meet her. But never planned on being there 28 years. I figured if we could do about 3 to maybe 5 years, be a good associate, and then, you know, rock on down the road. But how many of you know Jesus always has a better idea? So, you know, life was good and all good. I mean, let's face it, man. How can you live in a place called all good and have a bad life? And it's not like being from defeated or difficult. Y'all know there's two towns in Tennessee called defeated and difficult. Did you know that you pass through difficult and the road dead ends at defeated? Literally. Y'all didn't know that, did you? It's there. You'll have to go find it yourself. And so we used to tell them, for 1 gallon of gas, you can come from defeated to all good. Hallelujah. Of course, you'd need to make a confession along the way. But nonetheless, we were excited to have been there. And then last October, we stepped away, felt like it was time for a new season. And so we're excited to be here. And I want to say thank you to everybody who participated in our serve day yesterday. You are what made it successful. You were willing to give of your time. Jesus anointed your different projects. And because of that, people's lives were introduced to the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a lady that was sharing with me. I was out buying some stuff that we were going to be using. And she told me later, as we got done, she told my wife and I, she got emotional. She said, I'm one of the moms who's going to receive from your church. And thank you so much for being kind. And here's what I want to say. If we will take the time to be kind, if we'll take the time to just let our light shine, how many of you know Jesus can open the door so that people can receive hope? And if we've ever needed hope in our life, it's right now. These are hopeless times. If you watch the news and the mainstream media, they want everybody to believe that we as Christians are just, you know, we're crazy, we're the problem in this society. But I want you to know something right now. The church is alive and well. And we are the light of the world. Amen. So, in fact, this morning, we're going to talk a little bit about that. I'm excited about the Word. How many of y'all are excited about the Word? Y'all get pumped up about the Word of God? You know, the Word is what changes us. I tell people all the time, I have a little program in the morning, it's called PM and the AM, and so on Facebook, and I just share a quick lesson, and because it's the engrafted Word that has the power to change your life and your destiny if you'll let it. All right? There's no other Word that can do that. And so I just want to encourage you on that this morning. Let's pray before we get started. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for this day. Thank you for the Word that's alive and powerful. Thank you, Father God, that this Word is going to change our lives today. And Father, we're not just going to be a hearer of the Word, but we're going to be a doer of that which we hear, so that the manifold blessing of your Word will be on our life. Thank you that you give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to receive what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. So today, let's continue the talk about the life of Peter. Peter's one of my favorites, man. He was an impetuous kind of guy. And so last week, Pastor Mike talked about about the call of Peter and how Jesus came into Peter's space using his boat, came into his space, and then he talked about how Jesus wanted to bless his life and how Jesus wanted to change his life, and then how Jesus called him to a life of service, which is what he's done for all of us. And Pastor Mike did a great job of bringing that to light. Today, my topic is say his name. All right? And I want you to know something right now. If you don't say the name of Jesus, I'm telling you, it's the key to victory. His name is great. And according to the Word of God, it's greatly to be praised. His name is wonderful. It invokes peace. His name delivers and causes demons to flee at the mention of the majestic name of Jesus. His name is a high tower. You and I have the ability to run into that, and we find protection and safety because we trust the name of Jesus. I'm telling you, saints, there is no other name like the name of Jesus. And there's going to come a day when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Here's my prayer. You will confess him on this side of life and not on the other. Because when you get to the other side, it'll be too late. All right? So let's go to Matthew chapter 16. I'm going to read you some scripture here, and let's look at this today. Saying his name or confessing his name while believing on him is our way to salvation, and that's what we're going to talk about. Matthew 16, 13 says this. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they answered and said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or just one of the prophets." We'll come back. And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Notice that. There's a revelation that comes when we're in the presence of Jesus, when the Holy Spirit begins to teach us. There's a revelation of the Word of God that will absolutely change your life. And then look at verse 18. Notice what he says. "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades," or the gates of hell, "shall not prevail against it." So notice this verse of scripture. It is one that people have talked about and have not understood for a long time. In fact, we have a church, the Catholic Church, has built its doctrine that Peter was the rock upon which Jesus would build the church. But saints, if we just stop for a minute and think this through, we realize that can't possibly be. How many of you know that men are imperfect? Jesus was what? Perfect. He was sinless. Now, he was 100% man and 100% God, but he was able to remain sinless. Why would you build a church on something that's imperfected? It makes no sense. And that's why I've highlighted this scripture. He says, "I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." Now, Jesus is the anointed one. That's what the Bible tells us. He is the Christ, and he's the anointed one. And has God's anointing upon his life. So he is the Son of God. But notice this word rock in the Greek. I want you to notice this. This word rock is not what it meant to be. If we look at the word Peter, remember Jesus changed his name. It was Simon. He changed his name, Peter. Listen, Peter means Petra. It means small stone. All right? Would you build something on a small stone? As large as the church is? No. That's all it meant. It was Petros, small stone. While the Greek word Petra for the word rock means massive rock. Literally what Jesus was saying is, "I will build my church on the revelation that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God." He is God in person. And he built the church upon himself. The Bible says that he is the head. He's the chief cornerstone. Not Peter. Listen, there's no man who is the church. It's all of us together who are born again, who have the Spirit of God on the inside of us. We all make up the church. And all of us together have the same anointing that Jesus had operating in his life. So we got to ask ourselves, why is it so important that we understand that Jesus is the Christ? And what does it mean to us that Jesus is the Christ? Christ in the Greek literally means Christos. It's in the Greek, it's Christos, or literally the anointed one. It's the anointed one and his anointing. Do you understand that when you're born again and Jesus comes into your life, listen, you are anointed by God, appointed by God. You're going over and not under. You're the head and not the tail. I'm telling you, you're more than an overcomer through Christ Jesus. And the reason is there's an anointing on the inside of us. There's an empowerment, an endowment by God that causes us to be more than what we are, to be able to live the way we need to live. It's all by his empowerment. And that's what Jesus was telling Peter when Peter had this revelation. It's so important that we understand that. It's a revelation. And listen, the revelation that he is the Christ brings us salvation. We move from revelation to salvation, which is deliverance, which is wholeness, which is healing. I mean, it's all of these things combined together, all because we believe that Jesus is the Christ. It's who he is. You can't separate the two. It's who Jesus is. And notice that he chose to do this at the gates of hell. Now, we got a little picture here that I want you to see, and hopefully it'll pop up back here and you'll be able to see this. This thing takes place in Caesarea Philippi. It's so important. Jesus, if you see this right here, this is a cave that they believed was the entrance to the gates of hell. Now think about this. Jesus comes to Caesarea Philippi. He's traveling with his disciples. They're on top of the cliff up here at the very pinnacle at the top. And they're looking down because down there is where they were worshiping Panos, or Pan, the god called Pan. They were worshiping Baal. There were seven stations that were set up. And they would make the sacrifice and they would throw it in to the cave because they believed that that was actually the entrance to the gates of hell. Which is why Jesus said, listen, upon this revelation, upon your knowing that I'm the Christ, upon your confession, when you say my name, the gates of hell cannot overcome your life anymore. It's so apropos. It's so important that we get that and we understand. Peter was impetuous. He said things quickly. He acted quickly. He moved quickly. There was nothing slow about Peter. I mean, you know, if he didn't like the temperature of the room, he changed it with what he said or what he did. It wasn't always good. How many of y'all have ever said something you wish you'd have never said? I'm one or two of you. I see a couple of hands out there. Yeah. I understand that, man. I've done that too. You know, what's it called where you open your mouth and you insert your foot? You know, and you just wish you could pull it out. How many of y'all found out shoe leather tastes bad? All right. It's just not made for eating. And so it's important. So Peter was the kind of guy that he would get out of the boat and walk on water at literally one word from Jesus. Now, you want to know how powerful knowing that he's the Christ, the Son of the living God is? That when Jesus gives you one word, you can move. And listen, it changes circumstances. How many of you believe we're not made to walk on water? But Peter was a man who walked on water. And the Bible says that when Jesus said, come, four-letter word, Peter got out of the boat. Can you imagine the disciples standing there? There's Bart standing over there. He looks at Mark and says, at Matthew, and he says, Matt, what is Peter doing? And Matt looks down and says, Peter, get back up in here, right? And Thomas was going, ooh, I doubt whether he can do it. I mean, let's face it. All right, you guys know what kind of misfits they were. How many of y'all are glad they're just like us? But they overcame the world. And so Peter gets out and walks on the boat because of one word. I want you to know something right now. When you say the name of Jesus, when you say his name, Jesus will give you a word, and that word will carry you through whatever problem, whatever situation is going on in your life. It will bring victory to your life. That's the way it works. And Peter, man, I mean, he was the same guy that got out of the boat. It's the same guy that argued with Jesus about whether or not he's going to deny him. Can you imagine looking Jesus in the face and saying, what's wrong with you? You lying. I'm not going to deny you. Jesus said, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. What? No, I'm going to give my life for you. Yet, Peter denied Jesus how many times? Three. And then he heard the cock. And when the cock crowed, what happened? Jesus never said a word. He just looked at Peter and Peter melted. What's so significant about that? What's so significant about that is because Peter understood he was the Christ, the Son of the living God, that when Jesus rose from the grave and Mary sees Jesus, he appears to Mary and he says, go and tell my disciples and Peter. Listen to me, saints. God never forgets you and God will never quit whispering your name. No matter what goes on in your life. You may fail him today, but you're still his son. You're still his child. He's still going to call your name. Can you say amen? How many of y'all are glad that even when you miss it, the Spirit of God still deals with your life? Peter, I'm telling you, that's why I love watching this guy. I love looking at his life. And so he's the Christ. He was the first to preach Jesus on the day of Pentecost. A fisherman. He knew nothing about the Word of God. He knew nothing. And yet Peter stood and began to say, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel from Joel 2:28. He knew the promise of God. Why? Because the anointing makes us something we are not. It takes the natural and turns us into supernatural. Because God has the ability to influence us. Can you say amen? Are y'all doing all right out there? Y'all looking at me? I can tell a couple jokes if you want. You know, like, no, I'm just kidding. Hey, let me tell you, Auga, it's a tough neighborhood, you know. I come from a really tough neighborhood. My wife, she says to me one time, she says, hey, I want to go see my mother. So I took her to see King Kong. So anyway. Okay, just want to make sure. You know, the only thing I hope is my mother-in-law's not watching. Thank you, Jesus. Actually, I told my mother-in-law that one time. She thought it was funny, too. So, praise the Lord. Yes. Listen, I want you to know something right now. Listen to this quote. When you deny Jesus with your actions and your words, you're going to sink in life. But when you say his name, Jesus will always put out a hand to lift you up. When you whisper his name, Jesus. When you call out his name, Jesus. When you shout out his name, Jesus, he will come running to you and deliver you from whatever it is that you're involved in. Peter was known as the denier, but he was also quick to say that Jesus was the Son of God. And I want you to know something. Listen to this. Listen to this quote. Once we have the revelation of who Jesus is, we can always say his name. We can always say his name. And Jesus will always, always deliver us. We say his name and we get delivered. We say his name, we get forgiven. We say his name, we are accepted. We say his name and he empowers us to share with somebody else. I want you to know something right now. Jesus is empowering you to do more. That's why yesterday when we went out, I told everybody, I said, listen, you've all got ears, so listen to what's going on around you. Because while you're out there working, while you're out there letting your light shine before men, you're going to hear about needs. Listen to me. Jesus was moved by what he saw and what he heard, and he supplied needs accordingly. The Bible says that he looked over the city of Jerusalem and he wept because why? He saw the city of Jerusalem as sheep having no shepherd. Another time it says he looked and he saw that the people were scattered and that they were not well. And he healed based on what he saw. The compassion rose up. Based on what you're seeing and hearing every day, if you'll just learn to say his name, he'll give you a word in season to share with somebody else. And it will lift them out of the muck and mire that they're in. Listen to this. Let's go back to Matthew 16. Look at verse 13. Look at what he said. He said, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now remember, he's standing up on this cliff and he's looking down. All right? And he's watching all that's going on as people are sacrificing to false gods. And so he says, who do people, while he's looking, he says, who do those people say that I am? And they said, well, some say you're John the Baptist. Well, wait a minute. John was alive when Jesus was alive and was beheaded. So he's not John the Baptist. And then they said, well, some say that you're Elijah. Well, Elijah had already lived. He's not Elijah. I mean, Jesus was before Elijah. And then others say Jeremiah, one of the prophets. The key to this verse is this word some say. Because literally in the Greek, that word some say means scuttlebutt or gossip. People were gossiping about what they or who they thought he was. They gossiped. They literally were whispering things about Jesus that were not true. And that's what's neat about that word. It's based on untruth. It's just like today. There are people that will tell you, well, he was a great historical figure. Listen, Jesus was a historical figure. There's no other name under the history of humanity whereby people are still talking, whereby it causes so much controversy, but whereby it brings liberty and life to those who accept him. When you say his name, it changes the atmosphere of a room. I mean, it's just the way it is. You get on an airplane. I've been on airplanes before. Guy next to me will start talking to me or a lady next to me and we'll talk. They got a problem. And I'll say, man, Jesus can take care of that. Let's pray. And I'll grab their hand. Listen, when people need prayer, they need it now. I walked through a store one time and I walked down this aisle and this lady was pushing her basket. A baby was crying. And I heard her. I stopped because I was looking for a particular item. And I heard her say, honey, we're going to go home soon. I know you're not feeling well. I know you got a fever. So I turned around and I said, ma'am, I said, would it be all right if I pray for your child? She looked at me like, you're a pervert. You're not touching. Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? What do we teach our kids? Stranger, danger, danger, run, you know? So I said, no, ma'am. I said, I'm the pastor at Trinity here in Allgood. If you'll let me, I'll pray for your child. And this is what I said. I said, and Jesus will break that fever. And she just stood there and looked at me, and then she said, okay. And so her baby was crying, so I didn't move too fast, and I kept a pretty good bit of distance. But I just put my hand on, you know, the Bible says lay hands on the sick and they what? Shall recover. I laid my hand on that child and I said, in the name of Jesus, Father, just like you did Peter's mother-in-law. Did y'all know that Peter never asked Jesus to heal his mother-in-law? Just thought I'd throw that out there. Who's that over here laughing? What are you laughing at me? And I put my hand on her and I said, be healed. Just like you healed Peter's mother-in-law, we break that fever according to Matthew 8:17 and 1 Peter 2:24. In Jesus' name. And I said, there you are, ma'am. And I turned and I walked off. I went down the aisle. I got me a couple more items. I got some in the hand. You know, in my hand, I should have got me one of them baskets in my handbag, but I didn't, so I got them all right here. I went around the corner, went down a couple aisles, and then started back up. And she came around the corner. And when she came, she saw me. And she's coming and running. She's pushing her buggy. And she comes running up. And she comes running over and throws her arms around me and says, oh, thank you. My baby's well. And her baby was no longer crying. He was fine. The redness, the flushness, it was gone. He wasn't hot anymore. Jesus had touched that child's body. And she's hugging me. And I'm in there, and all I can think of is, oh, my God, people are going to walk by and say, the preacher's having an affair right there. If we just whisper his name, just say his name, the atmosphere changes. It changes. It doesn't change when Buddha is recognized. It doesn't change when others. Listen to me. But when we say the name of Jesus, the temperature changes. Things begin to happen. Can you say amen? And so when we make that confession as a child of God and we say, Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, life begins to pulse on the inside. And we begin to know Jesus. Now he is no longer just something that or somebody that we've heard is our Savior. Now we have experienced him as our Savior, just like Peter did. And we've accepted him into our life. And so it's important that we understand that once we do, what does that mean that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God? What does it mean? It means that we begin to know Jesus now as our prophet, as our priest, and as our King. He's everything to us. And so let me show you what that means to us. I got some points here today. I really do have points with my sermon occasionally. I've had people back home tell me, say, Pastor, you preach, and I don't think there was any point to it at all. So today, I have a point. I make fun of myself. Is that all right? It's better than making fun of y'all. All right, here we go. Number one. Because I say his name, he becomes my prophet, which means I can hear God. Do you know under the old covenant, you had to go find the prophet if you wanted to hear what God was saying? God would only anoint the prophet, the priest, and the king, and he would only speak to them. In fact, the Bible says, I'll never do anything in the earth without first telling my prophets. So if you wanted to know what God was saying to you, you went and found your local prophet, and then he would inquire of the Lord, and then he would speak to you. You see that in the life of David a lot, don't you? David would call in, or any of the kings of Israel, they'd call in the prophet, and they'd say, hey, we're fixing to go to war with these people. Is it all right to go to war? And the prophet would say yes or no. And so that's what would happen. But listen to me, because we're now under a better covenant, everybody say better. Now we're under a better covenant than the old covenant. We have a new covenant where Christ Jesus is the propitiation of our sin. He nullified our sin. He canceled it all out. He destroyed the work of Satan in our life and reduced it to zero. And now we can clearly hear the voice of God. That's why he said, my sheep, John chapter 16, my sheep hear my what? Voice. And they what? Know me. The very thing that Jesus said the world, they said the world can't accept me because it doesn't know me and they can't see me. Well, we can't see Jesus, but we can know him and we can hear his voice. He's got a voice and he speaks ever so gently to us. In fact, I like to say this. There's a little quote that I like to give that says, you don't have a hearing problem spiritually. People will tell me all the time, Pastor, I don't know. I can't hear God. You're not having a hearing problem spiritually. God does not have a speaking problem. We have a recognition problem. We're not recognizing his voice. I guarantee you, if we were in the dark and my wife spoke, I would hear her voice and know immediately that that's my wife. Never forget one time we had a group. We went to the prison in Mississippi. And we'd go preach Jesus. We're standing there in the house of the chaplain that was in charge of the prison. And I come walking in the room and I'm looking, talking, and then I look over and here's this guy standing behind my wife and he's got his arms around her. He's in our group. And I'm like, and about that time, he looks up and he sees me and he sees his wife. And he looks down. And he goes, oh, see, you might not recognize him when you come up from behind, but listen to me. Keep it up. Get your mind up now. He didn't know. I thought it was kind of weird. I said, "Woo, I'm in the church, but I'm not in that kind of church, all right?" And so, but when she said, and she looked at me too, and she goes, Mike. The moment he heard her speak, it was a voice he did not recognize. And he released. I want you to know something right now. Listen, we can hear Jesus. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10, 11, and 12, it says there are many voices in the world and none without significance. So you choose what voice you're aware of. And you can hear the voice of Jesus. Can you say amen? Point number two. Number one, he's my prophet. I can hear. Number two, because he's my priest, I can talk to God. You had to go to the priest if you wanted to talk to God under the old covenant. Now under this new covenant, you don't have to go to the priest. You don't have to go around America running to meetings. You can just go in your prayer closet and talk to your Father. He says you have not because you what? Ask not. So why not ask? He's waiting for us to ask. He's waiting, so ask. He's saying to us, I'm ready, I'm your Father. That's why I said in Hebrews 7:27, who does not need daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifices for, first for his own sin and then for the people's, for this he did once and for all, speaking of Jesus, when he offered up himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who have weaknesses, but the word of the oath which came after the law appoints the Son, who has been perfected forever, and he's waiting to talk to you. That's why the Bible says, come boldly into the throne room of grace in a time of need and find help. I can go in, I can go out. I can go in, I can go out. I can stay as long as I want to. All because Jesus is my priest. And number three, he's my prophet, I can hear. He's my priest, I can talk. And number three, because he's my king, I can walk with him. Whew, glory to God. Isn't it neat to think about walking with kings? I've never had the privilege of meeting any of our presidents. The likelihood of that, maybe not so hot. So I won't know what it's like to walk. But I do know this, that when you walk with the president, there is a protocol that must be followed. And it's the same thing with Jesus. What's the protocol? You got to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. And when your sin is washed away, you can walk with Jesus. Every day. Listen, how many of y'all worked with us yesterday? If you did, say yes. How many of y'all believe it was hot yesterday? If it was, say yes. That's exactly why I don't want to go to hell. Hell is way too hot. And God walks in the what? Cool of the day. God's in favor of air conditioning. Just thought I'd throw that out there. But we walk with him. Think about it. You walk with the King of Glory. You talk to the King of Glory. And you can hear the King of Glory. All because you said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he's waiting for you to surrender it all. You know, sometimes, I don't know about y'all, I can only speak for myself. I was a little slow to surrender some areas of my life. I wondered why I wasn't working so good. Get mad at God. It's God's fault. Well, it's always easy to blame somebody you can't see. I mean, who am I going to blame if I don't blame God? I'm certainly not going to blame myself. And then one day you wake up and you realize, yeah, there has to be a total surrender. But once you do, he accepts you and takes you the way you are. You just whisper his name. That's all you got to do. If you're watching us online today, we're going to give you an opportunity here in just a moment to get all in. To go all in with Jesus. Make Jesus the Christ in your life. Same thing we're going to do right here in this church. Right here in this facility. If you don't know Jesus as the Christ, today's the best day that I know to begin walking and talking and hearing the Master. And he's ready to accept you. Do you believe that today? I'm telling you, he's ready. I'm going to invite everybody watching online, everybody in this house, I want you to pray this prayer with me, if you would, please. I'm going to lead you in it. And if you make this your confession of faith, Jesus is coming into your heart. I know a lot of you sitting here already say, but just join me, would you? Say this with me. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you now, come into my life. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for me and you rose again. I thank you now that I am washed in the blood. I confess you with my mouth what I believe in my heart about you, and therefore declare that I am a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. Isn't it exciting to receive Jesus? Hallelujah. Come on, give him a shout of praise. He's worthy. There's no one like the King of Glory.